from the inside out. You remember what Jesus said to the Pharisees? He called them whitewashed sepulchers. Turn over to Matthew chapter 23. Let's read that account, because I think that is important, and I think it is important for the times that we are in right now. Matthew chapter 23, and let's look at verses 25 through 28. Matthew 23, starting in verse 25. Says, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, pretenders, hypocrites." This is out of the Amplified. "For you clean the outside of the cup and of the plate, but within they are all full of extortion, praise, spoil, and plunder, and grasping self-indulgence. You blind Pharisee, first clean the inside of the cup and of the plate, so that the outside may be clean also. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, pretenders, hypocrites, for you are like tombs that have been whitewashed, which look beautiful on the outside, but inside are full of dead man's bones and everything impure." You know, let me stop right there, because any of you have entrepreneurial minds, and you think of these ideas all the time that come through rushing through your head. When I was reading the scripture, I was telling Nikki, I said, "I got a business idea. I got a new business idea. She's hiding her eyes over there. I'm going to call it Pine Box Funeral Home. Pine Box Funeral Home. I mean, come on. I've been to some funerals. How many have been to some funerals? And I've seen some caskets. And those things are beautiful. I mean, platinum. And there may be some gold ones. And that's beautiful. But I think all we need is a pine box. Take me back to Old West, where they just threw them in a pine box, buried them, the worms took care of it. And you save some money. How many people want to save some money when it comes to burial? I got my first clients, I can see. Pine Box Funeral Home. All right, enough of that. But that got me to thinking, you know, there's dead man's bones inside of the outside. The outside may look all beautiful and shiny, like that casket, all beautiful and shiny. But inside, there's dead man's bones. So just bury me in a pine casket. Right in my backyard. Just don't tell the new homeowners when we sell the house. You know, in Virginia, that you can do that? If you have over 2 acres, I think, you're allowed to bury yourself right in the backyard. All right, we got to get... Where was I? What verse was I on? Beautiful, beautiful on the outside, but inside are full of dead man's bones and everything impure. Verse 28, "Just so you also outwardly seem to people to be just and upright, but inside you are full of pretense and lawlessness and iniquity. Clean on the outside, but rotting on the inside." You want to change the outside? Change the inside first. And how do we do that? With the washing of the water of the Word. The Holy Spirit ministering to our hearts. The Word of God penetrating even the highest walls that we put up in our life. You want to change the outside, change the inside first. And that's what he was talking about here. Bringing the Pharisees to see the truth. You know, they walked around and they wore fine linens. And that's why I don't care about our dress code here as much. You know, I say come as you are. Now, if If you need to change something in that area, I believe the Holy Spirit will minister to you. But I don't want to be a Pharisee standing up, looking all good on the outside, saying all the right things on the outside, but on the inside full of dead and rotting bones. I don't want to be that way. I want the Word of God to impact me and change me from the inside out. Amen? You know, in Philippians, you don't have to turn there, but Philippians chapter 1, where Paul is talking about glorifying Christ in life and death. And remember, he goes through that whole monologue, and he's, you know, and then he comes to the conclusion. He's talking about, you know, how better it would be to be with Christ. You know, he was ready. He was ready to pour out his life to be with Christ. And he said, I don't know which way to choose. You know, I'm stuck betwixt the two. And then he said, no, for you, it's better that I stay. It's better that I stay. But in verses 26 through 28 of Philippians chapter 1, I'll just read them. It says, so that in me you may have abundant cause for exultation and glorifying in Christ Jesus through my coming to you again. Only be sure as citizens, so to conduct yourselves that your manner of life will be worthy of the good news, the gospel of Christ. So that whether I do come and see you or I'm absent, I may hear this of you, that you are standing firm in united spirit and purpose, striving side by side and contending with a single mind for the faith of the glad tidings, the gospel. Verse 28, and do not for a moment be frightened or intimidated in anything by your opponents and adversaries. For such constancy and fearlessness will be a clear sign, proof, and seal to them of their impending destruction, but a sure token and evidence of your deliverance and salvation, and that from God. We don't have to be frightened. We don't have to operate in fear about anything that our adversary is doing. Who is our adversary? The devil, Satan, Lucifer, the fallen angel. He is our adversary. And the Word clearly says we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities. Spiritual wickedness in high places. This is what we are wrestling in this day and age. It is the spirit of Antichrist that has been around since the beginning of time in the garden. And his tactics haven't changed. And we ought not be fooled by it. We ought not succumb to fear, no matter what they label it or what you call it or what new name it gets. It's fear. That's all it is, plain and simple. He's not given us that spirit of fear. We don't have to succumb to the fear because we have a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. Amen? I'm not saying that government is our adversary, but the spirit of Antichrist at work is. And that's what we have to come against. Verse 27 again, standing side by side, striving, contending for the faith of the gospel. We're to be standing side by side as born again believers, contending for the faith of the gospel. What is the gospel? It's the good news. The good news of what? That you have a Savior. That Jesus came, died, was buried, and resurrected to give you life. That's the good news. That's the gospel. That's what we should be contending for. Side by side. Arms locked in arms. I remember when I used... I didn't go last year, but you know, I used to go to the APAC conference up there in Washington. And every year they have... protesters... out there, you know, protesting Israel and the anti-Semitists out there protesting. And the last year that I did it, it seemed like every year I did it, they kind of escalated their efforts. And the last year, I remember they came in front of the main entrance. And I don't know, if I had to guess, there was maybe 50 out there total, but maybe a group of 15 or so or 20 came and locked on, were locked arm in arm in front of the doors. And then some of them chained themselves around and to the doors. They were trying to block the entrance of people coming in there. And they were arm in... Listen, and the example here, they were arm in arm contending for what they believed was right. How much more should we as born-again believers be side by side, locked arm in arm, contending for the faith of the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ? How much more? What is the gospel? Where is your hope? Where is your hope today? Is it in a government check? Or is it in the gospel of Jesus Christ? Our resurrected Savior. That's the good news. And that's the good news that the world needs, that they need a Savior. Haven't we been talking about, how long have we been talking about the church rising up? Awakening. Now is the time. Now is the time. Now is the time the church needs to be getting louder and louder and louder. And I don't mean, listen, sometimes confrontation is necessary. I don't mean this in a confrontational way. We do it out of love. Doesn't Natalie Grant have a song called Louder? I don't know what the words to that are. I don't know why that rose up in me. You know, Reggie shared about David and Goliath and how the whole nation of Israel was emboldened when one boy stood up. The whole nation was emboldened. Sometimes it just takes one covenant believer to stand up for what they believe in, and it rallies the troops, causes other people to come alongside of you. One covenant believer. The Bible says even the earth itself is crying out for us to stand in our place as children of God. Turn to Romans chapter 8. How many have been reading Romans still? How many read it one time through and that was it? Man, you need to keep reading Romans. I mean, you need to keep reading the whole Bible. But Romans is so good and so full, so rich. Romans chapter 8, verse 14 out of the Amplified. I'll read down to 23. It says, "For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God." Are you led by the Spirit of God today? Then you are a son of God. And that son means, you know, female, male, son of God. "For the Spirit which you have now received is not a spirit of slavery to put you once more in bondage to fear, but you have received the Spirit of adoption, the Spirit producing sonship, and the bliss of which we cry, Abba, Father, Father." Listen, there's... Let me read that again. "For the Spirit which you have now received is not a spirit of slavery to put you once more in bondage to fear." "For the Spirit which you have now received is not a spirit of slavery to put you once more in bondage to fear." There is one form of slavery in this earth, and that is to the spirit of fear. That's how big fear can be. And you can become a slave to it if you allow yourself. "For the Spirit which you have now received is not a spirit of slavery to put you once more in bondage to fear, but you have received the Spirit of adoption, the Spirit producing sonship, in the bliss of which we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself thus testifies, together with our own spirit, assuring us that we are the children of God. And if we are His children, then we are His heirs also, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, sharing His inheritance with Him. Only we must share His suffering if we are to share His glory. But what of that? For I consider that the sufferings of this present time, this present life, are not worth being compared with the glory that is about to be revealed to us and in us and for us and conferred on us, our manifestation as sons of God. Verse 19, for even the whole creation, all nature, waits expectantly and longs earnestly for God's sons to be made known. It waits for the revealing, the disclosing of their sonship. For the creation, nature, was subjected to frailty, to futility, condemned to frustration, not because of some intentional fault on his part, but by the will of him who so subjected it, yet with the hope that nature, creation itself, will be set free from its bondage to decay and corruption and gain an entrance into the glorious freedom of God's children. We know that the whole creation of rational creatures has been moaning together in the pains of labor until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves too, who have and enjoy the first fruits of the Holy Spirit. We have and enjoy the first fruits of the Holy Spirit. It was the guarantee of what was to come. It was the earnest money put down for us of what was to come. We too, but we ourselves too, we have and enjoy the first fruits of the Holy Spirit, a foretaste of the blissful things to come, groan inwardly as we wait for the redemption of our bodies from sensuality in the grave, which will reveal our adoption, our manifestation as God's sons. Even all creation is waiting for the sons of God to be revealed. And it has suffered decay. Isn't it going to be a beautiful thing when the flowers bloom and they never decay? We've got, Nikki planted some, what kind of roses are those? Knockout roses and those yellow things? Daylilies. I just know them by color, okay? She planted these knockout roses and daylilies and those things, and I mean, it's just our entire little front, in front of the porch there. It's just, exploding with color. And they come out, you know, new all the time. And I was just thinking, man, isn't it going to be a glorious day when we won't see the blooms falling off and decaying and turning brown? Because all of creation, I'm telling you, all of creation has been subjected to that. But there'll be a day when that won't happen. There'll be a day when you are reunited with your glorious body that will not decay or grow frail or old or hurt or ache when you walk or when you get out of bed or when you go to the grocery store. No. He is revealing glory in us, the church. The church. The church. The church is to be a reflection of who God is in this earth. That's you. And me. We're to be a reflection of God in this earth, revealing His glory through us. And He will overdo it. I love that, Reggie. He will overdo it. You thought you were getting your Father? No, you got the fire squad. You got the EMTs. You got the police department. You probably got the whole neighborhood out there trying to get your hand out of there. He will overdo it. Turn to Ephesians chapter 3. And let's just meditate right here in Ephesians chapter 3 about how big and how good our God is. Ephesians chapter 3, and I'll start in verse 10 out of the Amplified. It says, the purpose is that through the church, say it, I am the church. Through the church, the complicated, many-sided wisdom of God in all its infinite variety and innumerable aspects might now be made known to the angelic rulers, powers and principalities, and authorities in the heavenly sphere. This is in accordance with the terms of the eternal and timeless purpose which he has realized and carried into effect in the person of Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom, because of our faith in him, we dare to have the boldness, the courage, the confidence of free access and unreserved approach to God with freedom and without fear. So I ask you not to lose heart. Don't lose heart, people. Don't faint. Don't become despondent through fear at what I am suffering in your behalf. Rather, glory in it, for it is an honor to you for this reason, seeing the greatness of this plan by which you are built together in Christ. I bow my knees before the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that Father from whom all fatherhood takes its title and derives its name. May he grant you. Let me just speak this over you today. May he grant you, out of the rich treasury of his glory, to be strengthened and reinforced with mighty power in the inner man by the Holy Spirit himself indwelling your innermost being and personality. May Christ, through your faith, actually dwell, settle down, abide, make his permanent home in your hearts. May you be rooted deep in love and founded securely on love. That you may have the power and be strong to apprehend and grasp with all the saints, God's devoted people, the experience of that love. What is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth of it? That you may really come to know, practically through experience for yourselves, the love of Christ, which far surpasses mere knowledge without experience, that you may be filled through all your being unto all the fullness of God, may have the richest measure of the divine presence and become a body wholly filled and flooded with God himself. Verse 20. Now to him who by and in consequence of the action of his power that is at work within us. His power is at work within you. Is able to carry out his purpose and do super abundantly because he's super bad. Far over and above all that we dare ask or think, infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, hopes, or dreams. He can do far above, beyond what we can ask, our highest dreams. What are you dreaming today? What are you believing God for today? Are you believing for deliverance in your own body? Are you believing for deliverance of a loved one to come and know Jesus as their Lord and Savior? Are you believing for restoration in your life or your family? What are you believing? What are you dreaming on? We fear steals our ability to dream. When you are so focused on the fear, you can't dream. You can't believe for what God wants to do super abundantly, over, far above, higher than your highest dreams for you. And I said it, I think, months ago when this whole thing started. Fear-mongering. It is fear-mongering. It doesn't mean that it's something that isn't real. It just means they're twisting it and compounding it and escalating it. But who do we trust in? In whom do we believe? We believe in a Savior, the Christ, Jesus, that died. He said He came to give us life and life more abundantly. The enemy, the adversary, your opponent is the one that has come to kill, steal, and destroy. I'm telling you, if he can steal your mind, he doesn't need to do anything else because you just will fall apart all on your own. He doesn't have to kill your body if he can steal your mind, steal your peace, steal your hope. Amen? So church, it is time. I mean, it's been time for 2,000 years. But how many know we're 2,000 years closer to His second coming from His first? And we are seeing things happen, and the silent majority doesn't need to be silent anymore. I don't even like that word. I don't even like that term. I'm not going to use that term anymore. If I keep saying I'm not going to use words anymore, I might just come up here and stand because I ain't going to have any words to say. But I believe that we have a responsibility as the church of Jesus Christ. We have a responsibility, a ministry of reconciliation in this earth to rise up, to speak, to be bold. A word came forth from Steve this morning in tongues, to be bold, to speak it out. Speak out with boldness the good news, the glad tidings of the Christ. It's a simple message. It's a simple message. We don't have to overcomplicate it. It is a simple message of hope. But it is hope that can change someone's life forever. Their eternal destiny. Their final destination. And it's to be revealed in us, the hope of glory. In us. In us. In you. In me. And don't sit there and self-condemn and say, I've done all this. I talk like this. I associate with these people sometimes. I do these things. Listen. If you truly receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, it says you're a new creation. And I wished I had. I saw a PowerPoint, but it was a video. But there was this snippet, and I'm gonna see if I can get it. There was a perfect illustration of our walk and who we are in Christ. And I'll just kind of briefly describe it. Maybe I'll get it for us, because I'm sure that my description will not do it justice, because most people are visual, but. Anyways, it was a stick figure, right? It was a stick figure. And it had on the screen, righteousness and unrighteousness. And then there was a line going all the way across the screen. And this little stick guy started out on righteousness, right? And it's what it is, it was an illustration of how people view sin in their life. And so this little stick figure is walking along on the line of righteousness. And he sins and it doesn't matter. And so it shows him kind of fall down towards unrighteousness. And he walks along and then it shows him up and down, right? Up and down. He's working his way back up. And then he does something else stupid and he falls down. And then it shows him below the line and he's just there and he's like an ink blot. But it says that's not how God views it. And it showed the little stick figure get up from his little ink blot. And he shoots up to the top. And he's walking on that line of righteousness. And he falls. He does something stupid. But he just goes to his knees. He doesn't fall below that line of righteousness. He repents for what he did. Gets up and is walking along that line of righteousness. And then he enters in to the kingdom of God. And I forget how they set up the last scene there. But that is who you are in Christ. You are, God sees you as unblemished, holy, righteous. Why? Because he's looking through the blood of Jesus at you. His eyes are filtered by the blood of Jesus and he sees you as righteous. So you may be sitting out there today, you may be online and saying, I am unworthy, I'm unholy, I'm not deserving of a good God. That's not true. Because one man paid the price for you. Once and for all. And that's all it took. That's all it took. So when you fall, Lord, I missed it. I'm sorry. I'm still here. Because he needs us. He needs us to understand who we are as the sons, the children of God in these last days. He needs us to rise up with a voice of confidence of who we are. Amen. Father, I just thank you. I thank you that we have your Holy Spirit that you sent when your Son returned back to heaven. And that Holy Spirit lives and dwells on the inside of us if we are what we call born again. Meaning that we believe that Jesus came to this earth, suffered, was crucified, was buried, but rose from the grave. And because of that, we have hope. And that hope is settled on the inside of us in the person of the Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit leads and guides us into all truth. So let it not be my words that convince you, but let it be the words of truth that penetrate your heart today. And if you are not born again, if you have not received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, today is your day. Today. Today is the day you repent. You just turn around. You just turn around and go the other way. You turn around. You change your life. You change your eternal destination. For when you were walking towards the pit, Christ came and saved you and turned you around, and now you are walking towards the light. Oh, glory to God.